Good morning. So great to see everybody today. Another beautiful Lord's Day. It's great to be here with you this morning, as always. Sammy, thank you for that song. As we prepare to talk about Jesus walking on water, we know that, obviously, from the singing of the song that we just sang and our understanding of God's word, that the ocean and the sea is an integral part of the Bible story. Whether that be from the Old Testament and the parting of the Red Sea for the Israelites to make it across, or Jesus stilling the storm-tossed sea, as we just sang about, or even Jesus mastering the laws of physics and walking on water. The sea has a theme around it that we can understand, and we can learn a lot from the lessons we read about it. And one of these great stories was when Jesus walked on water. This particular event carried a very significant weight for the apostles, because the crowds of people didn't witness it, did they? Jesus was seen only by his 12, by the 12. And this event specifically focused on Peter and on Peter's faith. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, that will be our text this morning. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. We're going to read down through verse 33. Matthew 14, 22 to 33. And I'll be reading, as usual, from the New King James Version. So please read along if you would like to. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So let's take a minute to examine the setting of where this event is happening. This event takes place on the heels of another great event. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. The crowds and the disciples were amazed at his power at this point. Now it is late into the night. The fourth watch is about 3 o'clock in the morning. And now this experienced sailor is in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night. I don't know that I would like to be in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the ocean. Right? I don't think so. No doubt, Peter, along with the other apostles, were tired. Would you be tired? You've been up all day. You've been out in the heat. You had this nice meal. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're trying to get your work done, right? You're out there doing what you always do. You're out there in the boat where it's a familiar place for you if you're a fisherman. Peter was familiar with the Sea of Galilee. Peter knew quickly how a serious storm could come up out of almost nowhere. You ever been in a storm that comes out of nowhere, pretty much? sunny one minute, the next it's pouring, and the wind's blowing, the lightning's crashing, wind's howling. Absolutely. It can be a little unnerving. I have never done that and been in a boat. Don't want to. I think that would be kind of scary. Now, Jesus had experienced this with Jesus in the boat, hadn't he? Right? Peace be still. And even then, that was terrifying. And now, and the other apostles, they don't have Jesus, do they? They are without Jesus. Jesus, he's up on the mountain praying, right? He's not in the ocean, he's in the mountains. The 12 are alone in the boat, and Jesus is not there to calm this storm. John gives us kind of another insight to this account in John chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come out and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And what I mean is that is another angle to which Jesus was experiencing time by himself when he wasn't with his apostles. This is a popular feeling to promote the idea of Jesus as a political leader to save Israel from the Romans. Remember, that's even at this point in time. His disciples thought that maybe Jesus was going to come and become this great military leader and help the Israelites defeat Rome and take back over. The 12 are sent off alone in order to keep them from adding to the feeling of making Jesus king. That's the reason that Jesus compelled them to go without him. He wasn't going to be the king, earthly speaking, was he? Now they're alone, and now they're facing this storm in the middle of the night. Now, keep in mind, this has been an eventful day, hasn't it? Peter and the 12 have already begun by doing some miracles, and now Peter is going to have the opportunity to do something that nobody has ever done before or since that I'm aware of. He is going to walk on water toward Jesus. Peter is about to take a huge leap of faith and a huge leap in faith. And as Peter is walking on the water toward Jesus, we can make some application for us today. Because Peter believes he can do what Jesus is doing if Jesus will allow him to. Even then, people understood, even though they didn't call it the laws of physics, that you cannot walk on a liquid, right? Peter wanted to imitate Jesus, just as the Lord invites us to imitate him. As Peter is experiencing this great moment, we can learn some valuable lessons. First, I am on my own. It's the middle of the night on a stormy lake that has a reputation for being fickle and dangerous. Maybe Peter and the apostles were afraid because Jesus wasn't with them. Maybe the darkness and the storm made them feel isolated and at risk. And having other people around doesn't help. They are as scared as Peter, right? I don't know that I would want to be alone. You'd think being with 12, 11 other people would make you feel better, but they were all just as scared as he was, right? Sometimes we feel this experience of isolation, this feeling of isolation. We're serving the Lord to the best of our ability, and out of nowhere, at the worst time, a storm comes up. And maybe this storm makes us feel isolated and alone and cut off from the Lord. And just like the 12 apostles, we may feel like we're on our own here. We think we will have to handle the storm all by ourselves. And that is why storms in the darkest hours of our day and the darkest hours of our life brings out the worst in us. Things like anxiety, fear, dread. Anybody ever had those feelings before? Anxiety can be crippling to us, can it? We've all had anxiety, right? I know I have. It's part of being alive, and some people really suffer with this. And there are times where Satan sends a storm and you are facing uncertain times. But just like Peter, he's going to discover as we need to discover, that Jesus is never far away, even in the times of a storm. It's a shelter in the time of storm. We sing that, don't we? As the disciples struggle with this storm, they come to a moment where they could be saying, I'm not believing what I'm seeing. They come upon a very strange sight. They see this man walking toward them on the water. After all the miracles they've seen Jesus perform, they still react how? With fear. Instead of hope, they think this is some apparition of some sort. It's a ghost. They're scared. But Jesus reassures them. Hearing his voice, they realize it is indeed Jesus after all. And Peter, old impulsive Peter, seems to be the only one of the 12 with enough faith to try water walking himself. So Jesus invites him to come to him. This is oftentimes emblematic of how we live and what we're like too. Because we meet the Lord and we surrender our lives to him, in the excitement of our conversion, we want to do great things. We want to get out of that boat. I believe that saying the phrase taking a leap of faith can draw its source from Peter getting out of the boat. There are times that we need to get out of the boat, spiritually speaking. We ignore the storms, we rush ahead to make things happen, and even though we know the Lord is there, we get too distracted and start thinking about it. Because Peter's walking on water, isn't he? But he quickly realizes that the storm is still there, the wind is still blowing, the waves are still tossing the boat. What does Peter do? Takes his eye off the prize. He takes his eye off of Jesus. He starts looking around at all the risks in his situation. Then what? He starts to sink. Peter thought he was big enough to walk on that water. He saw what Jesus was doing and he thought he could do it too. You know, maybe Peter was impulsive and people knock old Peter sometimes. But he was alone among the apostles in trying to walk on the water with Jesus. You know, think about too, just to segue into Peter, think about when Judas betrayed Jesus and the apostles fled, right? Who didn't flee? Not entirely. Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but Peter was still there, wasn't he? All the rest of them had run away. On this night, they're in this storm, and Jesus is walking on the water toward them. Peter got out of the boat, didn't he? Impulsive as he may be, he's still a man of great faith, wanting to be the best he could be, just like we are. What tripped up Peter, though, was not the storm. What caused his failure, what caused him to start sinking, was that he stopped trusting Jesus and he started trusting who? Himself. He's like, uh-oh, getting a little scared out here. I'm forgetting, taking my eye off the prize, right? When he did that, he remembered that he was a man. He knew a man like himself, a human being, could not walk on water. Once he started trusting in himself, he began to sink. That still happens to us today as Christians, doesn't it? We take giant steps in the name of Jesus, and then we take our eyes off of the Lord, and we start trusting in our own power and wisdom. We think we have been close enough to the Lord for long enough that we can do things in his place, that we can make our own decisions. How many times have we seen individual believers or even whole churches stop focusing on the Lord of the storm and instead try to solve the storm's challenges on their own by interjecting their own ideas, their own resources, their own strengths, their own beliefs that are outside of God's word? What happens to those people or to those congregations when this happens? They start to go under, just like Peter did. Too often we think that God cannot do without us. That is, our years of service have made us indispensable to the work of the Lord. But notice our story in Matthew 14. Jesus walked on water through the storm. He demonstrated his mastery of even the most frightening of situations. And Peter was only safe and successful when he kept his eyes on Jesus. When he started looking at himself and looking and thinking about what he was doing, he began to sink. Jesus mastered the storm, and it didn't really matter if the apostles believed he could or not, right? Jesus was going to do that. Peter learned a hard lesson. All of the miracles he had done, all the ministry that he had seen Jesus do, all that came from Jesus, not from Peter. He could walk on water, but only when he trusted in Jesus and not in himself. And friends, it's only when we walk with the Lord that we can actually face the storms of life. On our own, we're just going to be stuck in the storm, aren't we? We're going to be frightened. We're going to be alone and sinking. Only with the Lord at our side can we actually face all that Satan throws at us. That means that we never reach a point that we try to handle life's challenges on our own. Because if you have sin issues in your life, you're never going to escape their influence and power until you trust the Lord to forgive you. If you have trials in your life, you will never succeed in dealing with them until you turn your life over to the Lord. Whatever storms that you have or that you have coming toward you, you're going to be stuck in those storms until you turn to the Lord. So we need to remember that we need to follow Jesus, not ourselves. You know, sometimes people will ask why we in the churches of Christ are so particular about immersion in water and singing without instruments and etc., etc. It's a pretty simple answer. We want to do things the Lord's way. We want to do things as we are instructed to do them. History has taught us, as I mentioned a moment ago, that when a church or individual stops seeking Jesus' authority, they begin to sink, and soon they look nothing like the church or the believer that they once were. That's why the first step in every conversion is the willingness to repent. That means you give up your ways and you accept the Lord's will. None of us can come to the Lord insisting on our own way, we have to be prepared to do things His way. Like Peter, we can do great and amazing things when we have the Lord behind us. And like Peter, when we trust in our own wisdom and thinking, we start to sink. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized should be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Why would we want to argue with the Lord? If He says he who is baptized, believes and is baptized, will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned, it's pretty simple, pretty direct. Why argue? Keep your focus on Jesus and let Him save you. Why would you insist on being saved some other way? All that's going to do is cause us to sink in the storm. We just have to turn from our path and accept the path that Jesus has laid out. As I talked about last week, Jesus has provided us what? A way out of the sin that ensnares us. The path is simple. Most all of us, if not all of us in here, have already made that first step. We've taken that all-important step in being baptized for the remission of our sins to be added to the church that Jesus died for and that He built. But if you have not done that this morning, there's an opportunity for you. Through repentance, which means a change of life, a change of mind that's brought about by a change of heart that results in a change of life. Through confessing the sweet name of Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that He came and died on the cross for us. To be baptized by immersion in that watery grave of baptism, to let that old man die in that water, to be buried in that water, and to come out a new creation, a new creature. If you have done that this morning and you're letting trials of life cause you to sink, if you're letting the reality, the heaviness of life distract you, which I think like Peter, that happens to all of us. Life is difficult. It's not without its challenges. But we have a mechanism through Christ to be encouraged, to be supported by our Christian family that loves us so much. We also have an avenue of forgiveness. Once we have made that all-important decision to believe and be baptized for the remission of our sins, we can continue to be cleansed from our sins, right? If you have a sin in your life that you want to repent of, that you need help with, that you're struggling with, we'll pray together as a family if that's what you need. There is an opportunity for all of us. Brother Sammy's going to lead us a song of invitation in just a moment. If you simply come forward during that song, we can pray with you, pray for you, or if you're ready to make that commitment to put on Jesus in baptism for the remission of your sins, we can do that as well. Won't you come?